Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is the In This League Fantasy Podcast Network. In This League Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Online at InThisLeague.com. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and SoundCloud today. Now, here's your host, Bogman and the Welsh.
What's up and welcome in. It is the In This League Fantasy Basketball Podcast. We are back in full form. It is Scott Bogman. I am Chris Welsh. Thank you guys for tuning in to the 6th year, probably last few times we'll mention it here this week, but 6 years we have been doing the In This League Fantasy Basketball Podcast, and hopefully we have continued to be a mainstay in your listening basketball experience. And today we've got a very good one for you because I'm only here for a little bit because Bogman has an interview with one of our dearest friends in the fantasy basketball or really fantasy industry. He was the first ever guest. That's your trivia question for those trivia nights you do at the bars, because we'll clearly have a question on there, Bogman, of who is the first guest of any podcast, the first person we've ever interviewed at In This League. It was Steve Alexander, Dr. A from Roto World.
Dig.
And he's always been on with us for years and years, and Dr. A will be on with Bogman here. This is going to kind of be a probably a primer. You're going to just ask, you're going to go with Dr. A, just lots of questions, where he's at, a little primer for values, where he's at as we, you know, we're easing people into the conversation for the fantasy basketball season here in early September.
I organized 8 questions for Dr. A, and I'm sure they will rabbit hole down other spots as well. But 8 questions for Dr. A that I'm going to ask him. So.
That'll be good. It's always, I can always tell, too, when basketball season is close because Dr. A starts poking back around. Like, Dr. A, you know, he'll be, for the summer, we don't hear a whole bunch, but then all of a sudden, Bogman starts getting some text. I'll start getting some tweets. We're talking about stuff. So Dr. A is back in the house from Roto World, and it's that time of the year, man. It is that time of year where draft guides are out there. There's a lot of season prep, and I'll tell you, I mean, for better or worse, however you guys feel about it, you're just not going to hear us advertising our own because we're not doing a draft guide. We're here to talk you through the entire process. It's a lot of, think of it like this. Okay, here's a good way to do it, Bogman. This is how I like to see us. I think a lot of this sites, and I think a lot of people, our friends from HoopBall, our friends from Roto World, there's some good draft guides out there. There's some really good stuff.
RotoWire, too.
And yeah. RotoWire, yeah. Think of them as the textbook. We are going to be the class. We're the workshop. I feel that we end up being the workshop for the textbook work that you do. So, you know, you can take the things you read, you can apply. We've obviously done all of our work. We're just not going to be putting it in a book format or anything like that.
You're saying they're the ones that are making you nervous. And then when you get with us, you're like, oh, this isn't as hard as it looked.
Yeah.
This is fine.
I could be a teacher. I could do what those guys do. Those guys are idiots. That's what you guys all think. Good luck. But that's what we are. We're the science. We're the science workshop. We're going to get all of your stuff. We're going to be the application of everything where we are going to be doing mock draft episodes, which this week, mock draft 1.0 is coming up. It's going to be on Yahoo, a 12-teamer. And we're going to do mock drafts. We're going to talk with people. We are going to do player debates. And of course, we are going to give you our ranks. So that's what the season is. And plenty of those guys do podcasts and they do great jobs. I mean, you know, Dan is one of our bestie besties. And we have Dan and Jonas on for the big three, which will be this season. But that's how I view us in this process.
Yeah, I think, we're the cool kids. That's what I would say.
Yeah, that's what the cool kids do too, by the way, is they tell you, yeah, I'm the cool kids. That's what we
do.
Yep.
Exactly. I got my leather jacket, and my cigarettes.
Hey, like the Fonz. Well, these are good references for this new era of people. do kids even know what cigarettes are anymore?
No, it's all vaping.
You should have said vaping. You should have said vaping, yeah, Bogman.
I've got my what? What do they call it? Is it a vape pen? What is it? I got my Juul kit.
I want a character. I want Jewel Bogman.
Watermelon flavored and my grape flavor and my blueberry flavor. Mm. I've got all the fruits.
Look at that guy. Great. Look at that child just smoking a menthol. I'm going to sit over here and I've got my peach cranberry schnapp Jewel here. It's going to be really good. I want Jewel Bogman as a character.
Jewel Bogman. Yeah. You know, look, I do enough horrible things to harm my body. Smoking is not one of them.
No, it's not. No. We're not advocating smoke. Well, remember, it's not smoking, bro. It's vaping.
Whatever. So you won't get lung cancer, but you will get popcorn lung. So it's the same.
We're totally going against our audience right now because everybody, I swear to God, I don't even know if people smoke anymore. Everybody,
how many people are taking a big pull on their vape right now?
Yeah. So. Yeah. As we're saying that, we're doing our vape impression. Hey, look at me. I'm Jewel Welch. They're like, they're doing the thing. Like, I don't know. I remember
say what I've got. I've got strawberry.
I remember. I'm like,
or cherry once.
I'm like the biggest narc ever, or I would be like a square. I remember this is years ago before like vaping was what it is now. And I remember driving in my car and looking over and seeing someone with a giant vape pen just blowing that big old cloud out of their car. And I was like, who is this guy? This guy smoking the weed in public? Where's a cop? We need a cop over here. I was like, we need a cop. This guy's on the pot in public. I didn't even know what vaping was, but that's what it is. So, you know, coming back to our roots here.
You sound like the reporter. I don't know if you ever saw this, but you remember when the Rangers played the Giants in the World Series?
No.
You don't remember when the Rangers played the Giants in the World Series?
It was a year. I couldn't tell you what year that was.
Okay. All right. Yeah, neither can I. I'm just saying.
Nor could any of the basketball audience. But
They had the Rangers reporters out at the Giants stadium. And he was like, there are people smoking weed over there. They're just smoking pot. Can you believe it?
That's how I was.
It's like, it's different from Texas to California. It's just way different.
But this actually harkens us back to like our old roots where we had we did a couple bits here. We did the Urban Dictionary. Remember, that was a bit that we used to do on here.
It's kind of embarrassing now that you think about it.
Can you imagine if people went back and listened?
No. And there were people that were embarrassed for us. So they're like, you just sound like two white guys. I'm like, well,
we are.
We're not trying to be not goofy white guys because that's what we are.
Yeah,
so
we aren't coming on here trying to be any type of impression. That was a whole bit. Like, see, that was also the early stages of people like waterheads listening and just being like, oh, listen to these white guys. Yeah, we get it. That was the whole point of it. Like, you're the dummy. We get how stupid we sound. We didn't know what fleek means, and we did a whole thing on it, but it just reminds me of the old days of it.
I still don't really understand on fleek, but
we have a shirt.
What a surprise, right?
How many people you think bought our the Fleek Awakened shirt? It's probably a collector's item. Oh, are you kidding me? Maybe three. I'm one of them.
Okay, well, we're two-thirds.
Okay, well, that probably sounds about right for most of our apparel, which we do have apparel over at teespring.com/store/ITL store. Or if you go on our Twitter, you'll see different links, maybe to baseball ones. Probably need some basketball apparel that's going on. So that'll be something that you could be on the lookout for. Now, something we're going to be doing in this, you're going to hear from time to time. I'm not going to probably be on all the interviews. I'll try to be on some of them where I can. So it's going to be Bogman and Dr. A. But something we want on these episodes are we want your questions. You could ask us about vaping if you want. You know, Jewel Bogman and Jewel Welch, we're obviously connoisseurs, which we're not. But you could ask us about Urban Dictionary type things if you'd like. Or you could just ask us probably what people want, your fantasy basketball questions. And we are going to have a section probably right before we get into the interviews of answering a few of your questions. So it could be draft strategy, keeper stuff, player evaluations, whatever it is. ballbagatinthisleague.com. That is where I want you guys to send it. Now, because we've set the stage for it, there are not a lot, but we did have one really good question that let's open up the show with, and then I'm going to hand over the reins to Bogman and Dr. A. But drop the question. I think it was our buddy Toby, who is a part of the ITL Army, had a really good kind of beginner's question. And we've had a lot of people, because they join with the ITL Army or they listen to us on another podcast and maybe they want to consume some of our different products, that are really interested, but they don't know enough and they feel uncomfortable about basketball. And we want to grow the fantasy basketball community. We want there to be more leagues, more keeper leagues, more dynasties. We do a three sport. We want more of that. So I think it's a really good time to maybe hit a beginner's guide of a question. So what exactly did Toby ask?
He said, hey guys, listen to the basketball show for the first time recently. Never been a basketball fan, but last year started watching the Sixers run to the playoffs. What is your advice to someone who knows nothing about basketball as far as learning the game and then getting into fantasy basketball? Just pop my ITL basketball cherry.
Gross.
And that's from our guy Toby.
That is 100% in the words. When I hear somebody is say there, that.
Yeah, pop and cherry is bad. Oh, have you
except remember the group. Remember the pop and cherry daddies?
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Do you remember the cherry pop and daddies? How disgusting of a band name.
Well, we literally did this bit like 2 weeks ago, Box.
Did we really?
Yeah, we did it on a secret show.
You think I remember bits from day to day? Well, how many shows are we on?
Never talked about that band in our life until a couple weeks ago when we were talking about Zoot Suit Riot. Yeah, that's exactly right. Okay. And then I found their band name and I was like, well, 2019 is not going to allow them to have a hit. You can't have that name in 2019.
Zoot Suit Riot was like, I remember reading something about it. Like
I read it on the goddamn podcast.
You read it on the pod?
Yes.
The actual thing for the Zoot Suit Riot?
How old are you? What is happening to you? Bogman, I literally read off the story of what it was with the riots and how people were being beaten in the street. I think it was our secret show.
Okay, we haven't done a secret show where we've read stuff off like that in like 2 months.
We literally did it within the last month. We literally did this.
I bet we didn't.
I will bet you money we did Zoot Suit Riots in the last month.
I thought I remember seeing it on TV. Apparently it was on a secret show, but whatever.
You heard it from the Welsh, Jewel Welsh.
Okay. Well, congratulations. Go suck down some watermelon Jewel, you jerk.
I like raspberry Jewel since you're good.
God damn it.
I'm going to have it.
Jewel Welsh. No. Look, whatever. Call me. I'm an idiot. Just don't bring back Jewel Welsh. All right. Can he please die? He died of the popcorn lung pop.
Can I please get an alcohol seltzer to go with my raspberry?
Shut up. God damn it.
All right. So what was the question?
It was just about how to get into basketball when you're a noob.
Oh, that's it.
And fantasy basketball. Yeah, well, that's kind of what it boils down to.
Well, luckily we know a podcast that you could listen to.
Yes,
it's the Hoopball Podcast with Dan. No, it's ours and Dan, as a matter of fact.
Well, Dan's every day. So
here's the biggest things I would say, because I'll admit I have this problem in hockey where we do a lot. There's only so much time I have in the world right now. And we had like these hockey dynasty leagues. And hockey is actually a really fun fantasy sport. I'm not a big hockey fan. I couldn't name you more than six players probably. But like fantasy actually got me into hockey more. But what ended up happening was I just couldn't keep up. And, you know, the circles that I would play in, I just fall way behind. And I couldn't keep up with a lot of the craziness and all the drafts they do. And it just wasn't something I consumed enough. But, you know, had I maybe not been a podcaster, you know, it would have been a lot easier to do what I think is three easy things. First off, find some podcasts, pick a couple. I obviously listening to this, I suggest us. There's a couple I definitely don't suggest you get locked into, but I would say Dan Bespris would be one, and anything Jonas is on. So listen to those podcasts. Number two, I would say mock draft. Get in with us. They're solid mock drafting. Go in and see where the players go. Listen to mock draft things. It's one of the more helpful things to understand the valuation of them. And then number three, go pick up a guide. Go pick up somebody that you trust and pick up a guide as a reference point. But have all of the info from podcasting. I'm telling you, it helps. Do some mock drafting. Good mock drafting, and get some crappy ones in, like, you know, Yahoo, where people quit after the third round. That's fine. And then pick a draft guide. Those are the best three spots to get yourself in. And after 2 years, you're going to have such a good idea of what you're doing. And basketball is one of the more fun fantasy sports. I mean, honestly, I think it has abilities to be more fun than fantasy football, but not enough people give it credit, even though basketball Twitter might be the best Twitter out there. Those are my suggestions, though.
Yes, but Twitter is absolutely the best when it comes to basketball. But also, you know, just I think the biggest difference between any other sport and basketball is that when you're looking at the stats for basketball, you're looking at per game stats, because the guys don't play five or six games in a week like baseball players do. So, you know, in baseball, you're looking more at overall numbers and what they've done recently and stuff. Because guys are limited to minutes in basketball, you kind of want to know what their minute number is. Usually, you know, really good players are up into the 30s, then your role players are down into the mid 20s. And then, you know, everyone else underneath that is, you know, just coming deep off the bench for the most part. So and then, you know, just look at your per game basis. And a lot of people like to put per 36 out there. The Welsh hates it because he thinks it's not worth it, because you could put per 36 out there, which is what a big, you know, like James Harden averaged over 36 minutes, like the really big guys will. But most people aren't going to average 36 minutes, and that's why the Welsh, and me personally also,
I
don't hate it as much as you do, but I don't like it.
I have no problem with what per 36 can do. It can be a barometer for, like in baseball, I'd be like, you know, looking at BABIP and XFIP and stuff like that, where I don't have a problem with it when you look, or you're looking for identifiers. You're trying to look for people that stand out. My problem is the amount of people that use per 36 as the absolute baseline for all of their reasoning. And the amount of people that do it out there is obnoxious. So that's what I hate. When someone's like, listen, this guy played 11 minutes, but his per 30 is blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, why don't you talk to me about what his realistic minutes are going to be? Let's talk about some realistic stuff. Instead of, you can say per 36, but based on 20 minutes, we should be here. I'm good with that. But everybody wants to shove per 36 in. Like, that's the sleeper metric.
How many players do you think averaged 36 or more minutes last year?
I bet 5.
4.
Yeah.
Westbrook, 36.04. Harden, 36.47. Beal, 36.54. Paul George, 36.56. That's it.
Yeah, I didn't look at anything.
Under 36 minutes.
I haven't looked at minutes as far as, like, let me count up the minutes. That was my guess based on what I know, and I almost nailed it. 5 guys. So it's not meant to be dismissive. It's not the most dismissive thing on the planet. It's just the amount of people that use that metric to just be like, well, this is why I'm right. Let me tell you why I'm right. Tell me why you're stupid.
It's nice if a guy is like going into a starting role per 36. Like, you know, we just said, he's probably not getting 36 minutes because basically no one does. So no one averaged 37 last year in a row at all. So, you know, just remember that. And also, you know, the hardest stats to come by are steals and blocks. That's 1 and 2. Free throw percentage. You really have to take a look at the amount of free throws a guy takes when you're breaking that stuff down. Field goal percentage, you know, the big guys are good. The outside guys are bad in general. You know, I think, what else, the Welsh? I think that's pretty much the basics when you're looking at stuff. I mean,
yeah, I think
knowing rotations is a big part of fantasy, is, you know, what guys are going to start, what guys are going to get the most minutes. So, you know, I just remember, like, the very first sport I started with fantasy was baseball. And my first thing was, I just wanted to know the rosters and what everyone's role was. So you start out with that, and then you work your way from there after you know all the stats.
Yeah. And I think I said this the last couple of years too. If you're new to it, I wouldn't try to get too much into being cute. I wouldn't be trying to get into big punt teams. I actually would make a concerted effort to create the most balanced stuff and things based teams that I can. Like, you may not be able to avoid having a category that stinks a little bit. Like, sure, it's going to happen, but I wouldn't go in when you're brand new and be like, I'm going to do this punt. You know, I'm going to do this punt free throw strategy. I'm going to do this punt assist strategy. I might avoid that because you might not know in the back end of drafts where to complement the roster to. So those are some suggestions. It's a really good question. It came up in our captain's room over on Patreon, and it came up a couple other places, and it's just a pretty good barometer. But we would invite you to send in all of your questions. They don't have to be simplistic. They can be a lot more hardcore, to ballbagitinthisleague.com. Send those in. And as always, you know, In This League is brought to you by our Patreon. It's our patreon.com/ITL Army. It is a way for you to get access to Bogman and I. Even if you're not up into the higher tiers, we've got our Patreon page. On there, we've got comedy secret shows, lots of content to other sports, but for basketball, our ranks will be there. We're doing AMA. I'm doing AMAs at least a couple a month. Bogman's doing live streams for football that you could ask basketball questions if you want. We'll have probably mock draft results that are going to be up there. And then if you get into the GroupMe rooms, you'll have access to everybody in the GroupMe rooms. You could find new league mates. You could build new leagues. You can talk to us and talk to other really smart people. And you can get access to not only our listener leagues, which info coming next week, but maybe lieutenants and captains can get a little bit of info now if they'd like. And you can also get in our mock draft. So patreon.com/ITL Army to benefit yourself, and you are supporting us. We like that. We like the support for our jewel habit, for my raspberry oh, cranberry jewel. And I got to get my white claw.
No more jewels. That's it.
Someone Photoshop a big old, like, puff of smoke. Like, jewel person, but put Bogman's face on it. That's what I need.
No, jeweling.
All right. Well, we're going to get to the interview. It is our buddy. It is our buddy, Dr. A, Steve Alexander, but it's not me. So it's Bogman and Dr. A going through all the motions here. Going to be a good time. So I present to you Jewel Bogman and Dr. A, Steve Alexander.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says
in this league.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In this league. Oh.
Look at who is back on the In This League podcast. It is the OG, the original first guest that we ever had on any podcast ever. It is Dr. A, Steve Alexander. How's it going, man?
Dude, I'm good. And I think I say this every time I'm on. And every time you say that I was your very first guest of all time, I always forget that that's the case. And I'm I'm just touched all over again.
That's 6 years ago now. We started this pod. This is season six now that we're going. And it was so funny because you set the bar so high for getting guests because I was like, oh, my God. That was so easy because this is literally the conversation. I emailed you and I said, hey, Dr. A, I've read your stuff for a long time. I love Roto World. We started up this podcast. We'd love to get you on a guest. We record on Skype and blah, 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 blah. And all you said back to me was, I'm in, dig. That was it. That was the whole thing. So I'm like, oh, my God, I can get anybody. We got Dr. A, first punch, first email, no problem. I can get anybody. It's not the case. You know, you are one of the nice guys in the industry. So you always take the time out for us, and we appreciate it. So how excited are you for this basketball season?
Well, dude, I got to get through this Braves 10-game magic number thing first, and then I got to get through that postseason. And then I also got to let the newness of my four fantasy football teams calm down a little bit.
Now, have you usually been playing one fantasy football team, or have you been doing? Have you been off completely from football?
No, I've always been a 4-6 team guy.
Okay.
But it's, you know, week one just happened. I got an A+ weekly grade from Yahoo. You know, I'm all fired up because I destroyed the person I was playing with. The help of Sammy Watkins and various other fellows. But yeah, I mean, I'm fired up about basketball. Like we're putting the finishing touches on the Roto World draft guide right now. That should be up, you know, in the next 10 days, if not sooner. They've got me and some of the boys coming out to Stamford, Connecticut in a week. And we're going to film a bunch of stuff in the NBC Sports studio, a bunch of fantasy NBA round tables, a bunch of cool stuff. And then we're going out again probably like 10 days later, and we're gonna have a live NBA fantasy draft in the NBC Sports studio and run it just like they do with football and baseball. So we've never done that before. Lots of exciting stuff is happening over here.
That's awesome. That sounds like it's going to be a great time. And the draft guide is coming out soon too, right?
Yeah. Yep, that's what I was saying. Like we're putting the finishing touches on it right now. It should be out within 10 days, if not five.
Look at that. So all of it's coming together, and you can find him. It's still at Doctora, right?
Yes, it is. Some things never change.
At I think it's D-O, is it D-O-C-K or D-O-K?
D-O-C-K.
D-O-C-K. Yeah, I always get it messed up because I have, like I sent you the questions, which I normally send through your email, but for whatever reason last night, because I'm, you know, sleep deprived because I'm doing too many sports and all that stuff, I'm like, I'm going to send this to his, I'm going to send this to his Twitter account, the sheet. And I realized that I hadn't sent you anything on Twitter since 2016 when I sent you that. I was like, okay, well, I guess this isn't my normal thing, but this is what I'm doing right now. So man, I need to look it up.
More, I need more people to send me stuff on Twitter because my Twitter game, man,
it's improving. Like you're on there more often than you were last year. I don't think you were on there at all last year.
When Twitter hit, like when I got on in 2009, you know, Rick Camlin was living at my house. We signed up for Twitter in my family room together on our phones at the same time. He was the first person I followed and vice versa. I think we're each other's Twitter godfathers or whatever they call it. But man, I was tweeting like a psychopath. Like I was just all about it. And I wherever I was, I had my phone out and I was tweeting. And, you know, my wife was always yelling at me and my kids were like having to ask me the same question three times because I wasn't listening. And now I pretty much have it narrowed down to I tweet when I'm working. But when I'm working, it's hard to tweet. So my Twitter game is just kind of broken. But I have a feeling that at some point I'm gonna get it going again because it's fun. I like Twitter. I just kind of stink at it right now.
I'm not the best at it either because I will I'll just have a lapse of a couple hours or whatever where I don't look at it. And I feel like if you get behind a couple hours, you're just sunk. You know what I mean? For the day, like you're behind on all the stuff and. So it Twitter can be daunting on occasion, but the Welsh is on there all the time. I'm on there a little bit less, but I still have social media stuff. Like I'm creeping on Instagram is really nice. We can talk more about why it is off the air, but Instagram is really nice. I like Instagram, and I'm on the GroupMe app for our Patreon. We have the GroupMe app with all of the people that are on our Patreon, the lieutenants and captains and all that stuff. So that's where I spend most of my social media is through that app. But let's talk about some basketball here, Dr. A. And I put eight questions together to kind of, re-cleanse the palate for everyone. And I'm looking at this first round. We did a mock draft a little bit earlier today. That is going to drop on Friday for everyone listening. We just did a mock draft and I had pick eight. And at pick eight, I really wanted Damian Lillard. That was what I was going with. And he went one pick ahead of me. And I just had no clue what to do at that point. I panic picked LeBron. I'm not the biggest LeBron fan. I do like him in LA, adding some stars around him and stuff. And I think that it's going to be harder for them to rest him because the West looks so daunting and good. But I just wanted to ask you, is there a clear-cut tier within round one where if I'm picking top seven, I'm good. If I'm picking, top nine, what your opinion is on the first round this season?
Yeah, I think it's kind of similar to football. You know, this year in football, it was you wanted a top three.
Right.
And then when Zeke decided he was good with Jerry, it became top four that you wanted to be in. And after that, then you're just kind of rolling the dice. And with basketball, I kind of feel like it's five. Although the guy you mentioned is right there. So, you got some combination of Steph Curry, Giannis, James Harden, Karl Anthony Towns, who has a really good schedule this year and doesn't miss games, and Anthony Davis, I think are the big five. You want a top five pick. If you get a six, I think Lillard and Jokic slide in there pretty nicely. So six or seven. So I think five is ideal. Top five is ideal. Top seven is okay. Where I don't want to be is somewhere between 8 and 12 because, like you said, I mean, what do I do? There's so many options. And like the cool thing about that is like, that's going to be when drafts start because some guys are going to take Trae Young. Some guys are going to take Zion Williamson. Some guys are going to take Luka Doncic. And other guys are going to take, Paul George or Joel Embiid or Bradley Beal, who is a super hot name.
There's like 10 guys you can take in those four picks, and none of them are crazy.
Probably more than that. Probably more.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm with you. So what you would say is it goes, there's like three tiers. It would be AD, Curry, Harden, GA, and Cat is tier one. Tier two is Jokic, Lillard, and yep. Then tier three is that 20 guys, whatever, like that you could fit into those last four picks, right?
Yep.
Man, that's rough. I guess, what are you doing right now if you're starting out and you're picking 8 through 12? What are, like, if you're picking 8 and it went with those top 7 guys that you mentioned, who is your 8 right now?
Well, in the one early draft I have done, I've been slacking on my drafting, slacking on my July drafting. I ended up with Mitchell Robinson.
You took Mitch Robinson in the first round?
I think I took him like 12th.
Okay.
Something like that. In another draft we did, he went in the 7th round of round 2.
Seventh pick of round 2. Gotcha.
Seventh pick of round 2. I think I took him at like number 12. And that's a reach, but it's a, you know, that was a like July mock draft and we were having fun and everybody's fired up about Mitchell Robinson. And I had just gotten back from New York hanging out with Tommy Beer, and he has all these numbers about what Mitchell Robinson did in the final 2 months of the season. And I just got all fired up, and I'm still fired up, man. I really love Mitchell Robinson. I want him, if I'm on the turn, I want him with that second pick of the turn. Mike Gallagher has got me all fired up about Trey Young, and I'm kind of a Trey Young hater last year because we traded my boy Luka to get Trey. But, you know, Trey was awesome in the second half last year. He's only going to get better. Point guard is super thin this year. I mean, like the point guard tier is not great. It drops quickly and hard. So I think Trey Young is going to be a super hot commodity. And then the other guy I like is Luka Doncic in that trifecta. I'm going to end up with Luka on, well, if I have a chance to draft him in the second round, I'm going to have Luka on most of my teams.
Jeez. So all right. Well, that we got to go to question 3 then, because that that is what I wanted to ask you anyway, because I'm not with you on Luka. And I feel like the 2019 version of Donovan Mitchell is Luka Doncic. And I feel like he's going to be overdrafted because of those bad percentages that he had. Like, he helps you at everything else, but those percentages were just so bad for him. I mean, 42.7% from the field, 71.3% from the line for a point guard. I mean, you can call him whatever. He's more of a basketball player than... he's kind of positionless, but, you know, in Yahoo, he qualifies a point guard. 71.3% from the line. He does everything. He also turns the ball over a little bit, 3.4. So that's 3 categories already. He's really worth a second-round pick, man?
Well, those were 3 categories that he burned you in last year. And the turnovers aren't going to go down because he's going to have the ball in his hand so much, even with DeLon right there and everything else. I don't think he's a bad free throw shooter. I think he had a rough year at the line last year. I also don't think he's a bad shooter. I might be crazy and may end up in an institution one day because of this, but I really am not scared of Luka's ability.
I feel like Brad Pitt in Moneyball. I'm like, if he's a good hitter, why doesn't he hit good? You know, but I understand what you're saying. You're expecting that second year jump, which is the same thing that caught a lot of people on Donovan Mitchell last year, is that expectation going from rookie year to second year. But you're kind of buying in on that. It's going to happen. If you're taking Luka in the second, you're definitely buying in, right?
Well, Donovan was way better his rookie year than anybody thought he was going to be.
Right.
And then expectations went through the roof for year 2. And he just didn't live up to it. Year 3, I have a good feeling about Donovan too, because he's playing for Team USA. He's building a lot of confidence. Utah's got some new players, some new looks. I think Mitchell's going to have a big year. And yeah, I mean, I have 2 Luka shirts that I actually purchased.
You can't not own them. I have the shirt. I have to draft them in the second.
And I've invested almost $40 into this guy in apparel. It's too early for me not to love Luka Doncic. So
hey, look, man, I have like 3 Juju Smith Schuster shirts and a jersey, and I didn't draft him in any spots. So. You got to be able to separate, man. You got to be able to separate.
I still believe Luka Doncic is going to be the best player in the NBA sometime in the next 3 years. And it could easily happen this year. It could easily happen next year. I'm not giving up on this guy until he just proves to me that he can't hit a free throw and can't hit a shot.
All right. I can get behind that. So, but I mean, if he does everything the same, I mean, you know, he averaged close to a triple double, 21.2 points, 7.8 boards, 6 assists, over a steal a game. I mean, and he shot almost 2.5 threes per game. Those numbers are incredible. They're really, really good. It's just he drags you down because he takes 6.7 free throws and he takes 16.5 shots. It wasn't good at either one. But I understand the expectation. You know,
dude, can't you see him in the lab all summer though, working on free throws? I mean, I feel like he's gonna. And if Andre Drummond can do it.
Yeah, but
DeAndre Jordan can do it.
Well, see, that's big because DeAndre Jordan went up to like 70% last year. Andre Drummond, the Welsh keeps doing this to me. He keeps saying, oh, you know, Andre Drummond's not a punt free throw guy. Yeah, he is. He still shoots 60%. That's not great. It's not 50% like he was or 40% like DeAndre Jordan was, but it's still not good. And he takes a bunch and he gets fouled at the end of the game still. So he's still a punt guy, which, you know, punting isn't the worst thing in the world, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. Go ahead.
The last thing about Doncic, though, is his free throw percentage is not that bad. I mean, it's not like some of these centers that shoot 50%. And his field goal percentage, we've seen worse. So it would not take much for him to improve in both of those categories.
Yeah, he's not shooting 40. Well, he's not shooting 40%, but you know he's going to be one of your highest free throw percentage as far as free throw shooters as far as numbers go, because he averaged almost 7 a game, and you got to be closer to 85%, and he's, you know, it's 71% is no good. But I'm gonna be the zero shares of Luka guy this year, and it can absolutely bite me. But I took spoiler alert, I took Mitchell Robinson in the second round of the mock, so I'm on board on that train for sure. So. Especially, you know, doing a pod at weekly with Jonas last year, how could I not take Mitchell Robinson, right?
So I'm surprised you didn't take Jaren
Jackson in the first. well, he was in my radar for sure. But what about, tell me what you're doing with load management players, because we know Kawhi is going to get some of that. So a lot of people are pushing him off, you know, out of the first round, into the second round. Because, you know, they only expect 60 games. LeBron is a guy that people have suspected that would happen with him at the end of the year. It hasn't happened so far. You know, Paul George is coming into the year with an injury, so he might get it. You know, Embiid has had it for years. So what are you, like, who are guys that, is there anyone that's a load management guy that people aren't thinking of? And what are you doing as far as that new term goes? And it seems like it's something that they're doing with star players.
Well, LeBron played 55 last year. Is that what Kawhi played too?
Kawhi played 60.
60. But I mean, Kawhi has now, like, every single year since I've been doing this, it seems like I get messages from people like, man, this was the worst year for injury shutdowns ever. Like, more people got hurt, more people missed games. And it's sort of true. I mean, it's gotten worse every year for 20 years. And then I really think Kawhi Leonard just pushed it over the cliff last year because they won the championship. He was rested a ton throughout the season. Never knew if he was going to play or not play. You know, LeBron was watching that. Joel Embiid was watching that. Chris Paul was watching that. Like, all these old guys. Martin Gasol. There's so many guys over 30 in the league right now. I don't really want any of them.
So just anyone that's old and injury prone, you're just kind of out on?
So, yeah. I mean, there's so much young talent in the NBA. Like there always is. There's so many guys that you can count on to play that I don't really want to mess with the ones that can miss 30 games, because it doesn't matter what Basketball Monster says their value is. If guys are not playing once a week, it ruins your fantasy. It ruins your fantasy team and your season. Like, I want guys who are going to play. That's why when you said you took LeBron in the first round of that mock, like that scares me to death.
Yeah, and I never take LeBron. I don't like owning him. So
you just didn't know what to do.
I just panicked. You know, we also do, because for time, we make the picks 30 seconds. So Lillard went, I was all queued up, had him ready to go. And then I was like, well, LeBron. And then on the list, it's like, do I want to take the risk with Beal? Do I want to reach for Irving? You know, I like LeBron, and I feel like there's less of a chance of him getting rested because of the West being so competitive now. You know, I think with KD leaving and Thompson getting hurt and all these teams adding, you know, the Clippers adding two stars, the Rockets adding Westbrook, you know, I think that the West is going to be tougher. But I've also heard people say that GA is a potential to get, you know, a game off here and there, and he's super young, but the East should be easy to win, and the Bucks might be far and away the best team in the East. So if that's the case, he might miss games. Are you buying into any of that stuff?
A little bit. I mean, I feel like the vibe on Giannis has changed in the last few months, don't you?
Yeah, like, I really do. Like, it was number one overall to now maybe he's five. That's kind of what it feels like to me.
Well, and now he's had these weird injuries, and he's, you know, getting abused in the world championships by old guys, and people are talking trash. And there's just a kind of a weird vibe for Giannis with me right now. But I mean, I still love Giannis, and I, you know, if I had the fifth pick, I'll take Giannis every time.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I'm not worried about that. It's just something, I guess, to think about. Like, if you're stacking these guys, you know, if you're going to take a Giannis, you know, don't on the back end then go get Chris Paul, you know, something like that, because you could be missing both of them in a week, and now you've kind of screwed yourself with your top two picks there. So what about Paul George? Now, Paul George, I don't know that he's so much of a risk to get rested at the end, maybe because he's coming into the season with an injury, but he played 77 games with that shoulder injury last year. He had surgery after the season ended, you know, after that brutal Damian Lillard shot against OKC, which I loved, but because it wasn't against the Rockets finally. But what are you doing with Paul George coming into this season? Where does he need to be picked?
Well, he had surgery on both shoulders, which is interesting. And then they're saying now he's going to play in mid to late November. So, you know, season starts late October. So he could miss the first month of the season. And that's pretty scary, especially for a guy that if he was healthy and ready to go.
I mean, he finished two last year. So he would be like, he'd probably be in that. If he was healthy, I would have taken him and not thought about LeBron at all at like eight. So.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's in, I think if he was healthy, he'd be in that Lillard Jokic tier. It'd be Lillard, Jokic, and George. But he's not healthy. He's going to miss a little bit of time. So, I mean, he's probably not going to end up on any of my teams, because I'm probably going to wait too long to take him, because I just get weird when guys are hurt. He probably deserves to be taken in the middle of the second round at this point.
And that's like kind of his floor, right? His middle of the second round, at least, if he's not taken on the turn for someone. I mean, you know, if we hear it's, as we're recording this, it's early September. So the season starts on October 22nd, I believe, is the opening night date. So there's still news to be heard, you know, and he posted a picture of him working out and, you know, going through practice and all that stuff. So I think that they're just being extra cautious with him. But I'm with you. I don't want to take a guy going into the year banged up anymore. I've done that too many times, and, you know, a setback, or the guy comes right back. And, you know, same thing. Like, what if I asked you about the same deal about Oladipo? He's a guy that you can get 4 to 5 rounds later. I own him in a couple dynasty spots, so I know I'm going into the year with him banged up anyway, but he doesn't even have a timetable. They're not setting anything with him yet. So is that the same deal? You're just not going to be owning Oladipo on too many of your teams?
Probably. Both of those dudes, I'm fine with taking them in the right spot, but I feel like both of them are going to go earlier than I want to take
them. Okay.
That's the thing. It's not that I would not take them, but I mean, Oladipo's going to be risky. Like, I could see Paul George feeling better in 3 weeks and actually, you know, not really missing much time at the beginning, but I could also see him missing the first month of the season. I could see that one going either way. Whereas Oladipo, I mean, we don't even know, man.
Yeah, it's Oladipo, like I said, no timetable yet. So kind of difficult to draft him unless he falls. What about the biggest question mark, I think, coming into the season outside of injury players, load management players, and that stuff, are a couple of these rookies. And obviously the biggest one is Zion Williamson. And it seems like a perfect place for him to end up as far as fantasy goes, because the Pelicans want to run Alvin Gentry's fast-paced offense, and Alvin Gentry has said, we want to be the highest-paced team in the league. He's already said that on multiple occasions. So that looks like it adds up everything great for a rookie coming in with the type of hype level and talent that a dude like Zion Williamson has. So what is your outlook on Zion? Because we know rookies will occasionally hit that wall. There's been some people, you know, calling him pudgy already for whatever reason. What do you think about Zion this season?
Do they say pudgy or do they just go straight out fat?
I mean, I'm never going to call him fat because, I mean, you talk about the pot calling the kettle black. I mean, come on. You know, I am fat. I ain't pudgy.
Fat.
He's a big fat fatty. So that's me. But what I don't know, like, it's got to be tough if you have any type of weight issue moving to New Orleans, right? Because I've never been, but everyone I've ever talked to that's been in New Orleans said the food will just change your life. It's ridiculous. Yes. So,
yeah. Well, not only that, he's in New Orleans with unlimited amount of money to spend
right.
on food. And he's a big dude. I mean, I'm not going to call him fat either, but a lot of people have. And a lot of people don't think his legs are going to be able to sustain, you know, his body.
And, right.
You know, Charles Barkley didn't seem to have many problems. Same type of deal. But, you know, like I said, in that one mock draft we had, which had some Roto World readers as well as some of us in it, some kid took Zion like number 11, first round.
Whoa. Okay. That's just too much. I mean,
I will not be doing that. I feel like Zion should go in like sometime in round 3 and ideally in round 4.
Okay.
I don't feel like I really want him until after that. So I'm probably not going to have a lot of Zion because I think he's probably going to go in the second round in a lot of drafts.
Yeah, I mean, looking at Yahoo ranks, they got him at 34, which is a back end of the third and a 12 man, so that's fine, you know, but I think where you want him in the third, you would take him in the fourth. Like, you want him to drop to the third so you have the option, but I think most of the time you probably pass on him. And then if he's in the fourth, that's where you take him, but because some crazy person has already taken him in the second, looking for all that upside, then, you know, you just, he's not going to be available to you. If you're not willing to spend at least a top, you know, what does it look like? Top 30 pick, 32 pick on him. You probably won't be the Zion Williamson owner for year one, right?
I think that Zion, because of his name, and Luka Doncic and Trae Young, because of last year and people are just gravitated towards those guys. I think all three of those guys are going to be gone by the third round in almost every draft.
What about, and I'm with you on that, 100%. Trae Young, I think Trae Young is the guy that's going to fall the most out of those three. Would you agree with that?
We'll see what happens after Gallagher gets done hyping him up for the next month and a half.
That's true.
Because he is all in, and he is really... He's pretty much almost got me convinced that Trae Young should be taking it, you know, with like the 15th pick.
Look, he was really good the second half, like the second half of the year, because, you know, Jonas was, as much as he is for Jaren Jackson and, you know, Mitchell Robinson and a couple of those other guys, he is that far against a guy like Trae Young, and he had to even backtrack and say, hey, look, he's been really good in the second half. There's not really a leg for me to stand on. And that's, it's respectful that Jonas can step back. But, you just got to kind of recognize a guy with talent that like that. And he was so good in the second half. He carried a lot of people during the playoff run. But at stretches, he was droppable in the first half. He was playing really bad. So what about Ja Morant and RJ Barrett? Are you in on them? Are you looking for them? Because I think RJ Barrett is ranked, he's 117 on Yahoo to start, and then Ja Morant is 78. Are those kind of your typical numbers that you've seen from Morant and Barrett?
Yeah, and I feel like Morant is probably going to go higher than that just because of his. I just feel like people watched him dunking in college last year. That are going to be, oh man, I could get Ja Morant in the fifth round. I'm going to do it. I feel like he's going to go higher than that. And I think that Barrett, he got off to a slow start with the Knicks in summer league, and he plays for the Knicks, and the Knicks are kind of a lost cause. And I don't think the hype is going to be as big on Barrett as it is, with Ja Morant, even though Barrett plays in New York. I think Matt Straub and I both are going to be pretty fired up about the Hawks rookie, DeAndre Hunter, who they traded up to get. I think he's going to have a big role with Atlanta, and I'm kind of more excited about him than I am Barrett really right now.
Okay,
I think Barrett's going to be good. He's going to be a great player one day, but I think
he's going to be a good fantasy player more than he is a real player, but he's got to earn that time. So I don't think rookie year is the year for him either. I think next year is when you want RJ Barrett. So I'm with you, but I like the DeAndre Hunter call too, because he went late in the mock, and I think people forget about him because, even though he's traded up for, because those top three guys were talked about so much going into the draft. So I'm absolutely with you. And I want to know who lost the most draft value from last year to this year. Do you have a couple guys as far as that goes?
Thaddeus Young is going to be playing behind Laurie Markkanen in Chicago. Not that Thaddeus Young had a ton of fantasy value, but he started like 80 games a year for 3 or 4 years in a row. He's not a bench guy. And he's going to become a bench guy. So what little fantasy value he still had, I think, is probably going goodbye. I think Kyle Kuzma is a young player with tons of upside that I really like Kyle Kuzma. But he had the unfortunate fate of having Anthony Davis show up on his team. So he's going to be playing behind Anthony Davis, probably becomes a sixth man. I don't know how Anthony Davis gets there and Kuzma does not take a hit.
Yeah, I mean, the only way is if AD gets hurt early. So.
Or if they rest him, half the games, which who knows. and then the Jazz made a couple moves. Mike Conley's on his way there. Bogdanovich is coming there from Indiana. And I think that's going to put a squeeze on Joe Ingles a little bit.
Okay.
So old Jingles is probably looking at a different role this year. He'll probably be coming off the bench. And I think, Conley's more of an offensive player than Ricky Rubio was and whatnot. So I think there's going to be less opportunities for Joe Ingles to do what he does, which is put up fun fantasy numbers.
What about on the opposite end? Who gained the most?
Well, we'll have to see how it pans out, but Terry Rozier moving from the Celtics to the Charlotte Hornets.
Who have nothing. I mean, they're bad.
Point guard. Every position except point guard in Charlotte is a position battle between guys like average NBA fans don't even know who they are. And there's like two or three of them, and it's funny how bad it's going to be. But Terry Rozier got paid a ton of money to come in there. We know he can score. We also know that he can't shoot. I think he shot 38.7
percent,
like 3 years in a row. Like it it's pretty bad. So his shooting will kill you. He doesn't turn the ball over much, surprisingly, but he also has never averaged more than like 2.5 assists. So he's a total question mark. We really don't know what's going to happen there. All I do know is he's going to get a ton of minutes. He's going to shoot the ball a ton, and he's going to have every opportunity to put up big numbers. But like some of the other guys we talked about, he probably hurts you in a couple of categories. And then I think that the one that is most surprising on this list of guys who really benefited from the offseason is Stephen Curry, who, like, you don't really think he can get much better, but then Klay Thompson tears his ACL, and who knows when he's coming back. And then Kevin Durant goes to Brooklyn, and now it's Curry's show. So I think Stephen Curry took a huge jump. As big of a jump as he could have taken.
And I think Bam Adebayo's got to be on that list too, right?
Oh yeah, he's on that list too. I don't know how I forgot him, but yes, Bam Adebayo, because Hassan Whiteside is in Portland. So Bam, the center for the Heat, got a big boost as well.
Now, the last question I have for you, I feel like I know the answer, but maybe not. You know, people change, but sometimes you can't teach an old dog new tricks, right? So punting. You've never been a punt guy, but it seems like, I mean, hey, you might be in on Luka this year, so maybe you're a punt guy. Has your stance on punting changed this year because maybe you're willing to take some more of those guys with, you know, I mean, even Scary Terry with the terrible field goal percentage. Maybe he's good guy to combine with a dude like Doncic. So what do you think about punting?
I was going to say, if I somehow end up with Trae Young and Luka Doncic, you know, say I'm picking 12 and 13, and I want to make sure I get Luka, or maybe I get Mitchell Robinson and Luka. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to shake out. But if I end up with like Luka and Trae, even if it's in the round 2 and 3 or 3 and 4, whatever, that's the prime team to add Terry Rozier to. Like you just said, because it's kind of, they all do the same things. They can all put up pretty big counting stats and hurt you everywhere, you know, hurt your percentages. So I've never been a big punting strategist. Like I don't go into a draft thinking, man, I am going to punt free throws and I'm going to take all bad free throw shooters. I've never really done that because it's, if the draft doesn't go the way you think it's going to, and you've got a clock that you have to deal with, bad stuff can happen, like we just talked about. especially if it's a 30 second clock, you're like, oh my gosh, I got to change gears and figure this out. And then sometimes you're just not in that mindset. Some drafts, you know, you get done and you're like, man, I just killed that draft. Everything went exactly as I thought it was going to. And then other drafts you walk out of, you're like, what just happened? I drafted a team that I didn't even know I was capable of drafting these guys. So
yeah,
don't know how it's going to go. So it's hard for me to go in with a hardcore pre-planned punting strategy.
But I took so many guys that I don't like in that first mock. Like that's going to be my worst mock of the year. I know that at least. So I just wasn't, and I don't know why I gave, because I made the draft order in this one. I don't know why I gave myself the worst position. But I did. I was like, I just want to see what it looks like. And then I was like, okay, no thanks. So, you know, it's kind of like when you start watching a creepy movie and you're like, it's a little late to be watching this. No thanks. I'll go watch some. Let's see what Family Guy's doing. So, no thank you.
Yeah, and I picked 8 in all my football leagues, 8 or 9. And I did not enjoy that experience. It was not fun. I felt like you when you pick LeBron. But I did get Zeke in one of them. I got Zeke in a couple of them actually, but you know, even if you pick 8, 9, or 10, there's
value.
You can win from any spot,
right?
You can still,
I'm 100% with you. Well, Dr. A, I want to thank you so much. I know you got to take your kid to baseball practice, so thanks for stopping by and you know, answering some questions for us. And remember, you can find him on RotoWorld and at Doctora, spell it out for us again, the Twitter.
D-O-C-K-T-O-R-A.
Doctora on the Twitter. And ask him questions on there.
Yeah, you know, may not be aware of this, Scott, but I think doctora means female nurse.
Is that what it means? It means female nurse. I had no clue. No one has.
I know you didn't know that. So.
And no one has ever told me that for six straight seasons. So that's good. Doctora. So Dr. A on the Twitter. Go ask him questions because he said he wants to up his Twitter game. So go on there. Hit him with a couple questions so he can be more active on the Twitters. But we appreciate it. And thank you so much for stopping by with us.
All right. We'll see you next time. Thanks.
That is going to do it for this show of the In This League Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Remember, you can find us on the Patreon. That would be patreon.com/ITL Army, or you can follow the link on InThisLeague.com, of course. And you can find us on the Twitter machine. I am at Bogman Sports. The Welsh is at Is It The Welsh. And I hope you guys enjoyed that. And hit us up with the questions, because before these interview episodes that the Welsh and I are going to be doing, we're going to answer questions first. So ballbag@inthisleague.com for any and all basketball questions. And we will see you guys for the mock on Friday. Take it easy, everybody.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.